Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Let's talk about something incredibly tough. Imagine this. You, or maybe someone close to you, is fighting cancer. You go through treatments, maybe even these really advanced targeted ones, and things look up for a bit, there's hope, but then the cancer comes back. Often tougher, like it learned how to beat the drugs. This isn't, you know, some rare thing, it's a huge problem. Studies show something like 30, even 50% of patients don't respond well to their first treatment. And sadly, for many, the disease eventually wins out. It's because cancer is just, well, incredibly adaptable. The cells figure out ways to resist, complex ways we find really hard to predict, even when we hit them with multiple drugs at once. But what if we've been looking at the wrong clues? What if there's this hidden language, like a shifting context within our genes, that could show us new ways to fight back? Today, we're doing a deep dive into some really groundbreaking research that tackles this exact problem, offering a genuinely new perspective.
Yeah, it's really exciting work. We're focusing on a study led by Amir Jassim and Richard J. Gilbertson, along with Birgit Nimmervoll, Sabrina Terranova, and a whole team, mostly from the Cancer Research UK Cambridge Institute. Their paper, Gene Context Drift Identifies Drug Targets to Mitigate Cancer Treatment Resistance, just came out September 8th, 2025, in Cancer Cell. And it really does introduce a powerful new way to potentially understand and maybe even overcome treatment failure in cancer.
Okay, so before diving into their method, let's unpack the core issue a bit more. Why is it so incredibly hard to predict and stop cancer resistance? What's the real biological hurdle?
Well, fundamentally, it comes down to two things: complexity and plasticity. A tumor isn't just one type of cell. It's this mixed bag, a heterogeneous population.
Right. Different cells doing different things.
Exactly. And they all respond differently to treatment. So the landscape inside the tumor is constantly shifting as treatment progresses. Some cells die, others survive, maybe even thrive. We try combination therapies, right? Hoping to hit different weaknesses at the same time.
Yeah, the 1-2 punch idea.
But even those often fail, because cancer finds these complex biological workarounds. And our current ways of looking at it often fall short. Computational methods might compare gene networks to contexts that aren't quite right, or they just track, you know, how much a gene is turned on or off.
Just the volume control, basically.
Pretty much. But the real challenge is understanding how the tumor evolves its whole genetic network during treatment, not just changing the levels of individual genes. It's about the relationships changing.
Okay, so if the old tools aren't quite cutting it for this dynamic adaptation, what did this team do differently? You mentioned recoder array resistance through context drift. How does that work?
Right, recoder array. It's clever because it steps away from just looking at expression levels. It's a computational pipeline, first taking in single-cell RNA sequencing data, cRNA-seq profiles. From that data, it builds these detailed maps, co-expression graph networks, showing how genes functionally relate to each other within the tumor.
Okay, mapping the connections.
Exactly. But here's the really innovative part. It uses a technique called graph embedding, which is actually inspired by natural language processing. Think Word2Vec.
NLP, like how algorithms understand language. Mm-hmm. So Word2Vec looks at words in a sentence to get their meaning from context.
Precisely. Just like NLP reads text to learn word context, RICKIDU-ER reads the gene co-expression data. It learns the unique functional context of each gene within that specific tumor environment. And the core idea, the hypothesis, is that changes in this context how a gene's network partners and relationships shift during treatment. That's what reveals critical insights about resistance, more so than just expression levels changing.
So it's measuring context drift. How does it actually quantify that shift?
It calculates a context drift score for every gene. This score combines a few different metrics. Things like changes in the number of direct neighbors a gene has in the network, how far its influence reaches, and subtle shifts in its connections based on cosine similarity scores. It's trying to capture the whole picture of how a gene's functional world is transforming under pressure.
Okay, that makes sense. Reading the changing relationships, not just the headlines. So what happened when they applied RICKIDU-ER to real tumors facing resistance? What did it actually find?
The results were quite remarkable. First, they looked at a mouse model of a rare aggressive childhood brain tumor called choroid plexus carcinoma, or CPC. They compared normal choroid plexus cells with untreated CPC cells. RICKIDU-ER mapped out distinct gene communities, progenitor, immune, mesenchymal. But crucially, it pinpointed DNA repair regulators, specifically the ATM pathway, as being vital for keeping the CPC going.
ATM, okay.
And here's the kicker. Standard genomic analysis, even other sophisticated computational methods, they didn't flag ATM as a top target. But RECOT-ER did.
Wow. So it found something others missed entirely.
Exactly. And then they tested it experimentally. An ATM inhibitor drug, AZD3090, significantly slowed down CPC growth and helped the mice live longer. That was actually the first time a single-agent ATM inhibitor showed efficacy in this cancer model.
That's a huge validation for the approach right there. Finding a working target that was otherwise hidden. But cancer fights back. Resistance is the name of the game. What did RECOT-ER show when the tumors inevitably started resisting the ATM inhibitor or radiation?
Right, the inevitable relapse.
Mm-hmm.
So they used RECOT-ER again, this time on the relapsed tumors from mice treated with either AZD1390 or radiation alone. It found the tumors were resisting in similar ways, mainly by expanding those progenitor communities. And the genes showing the biggest context drift were concentrated there. But here's something fascinating. About a third of these key resistance genes were actually recalled, if you will, from the embryonic stage of choroid plexus development.
Recalled, like reactivated.
Yeah, essentially reactivated.
Yeah.
Genes involved in cell cycle control, like CDK6 and DNA repair, like PARP1 and RAD50. It strongly suggests the cancer cells revert to these more primitive, perhaps more resilient fetal programs to survive the treatment.
That's kind of amazing, like digging up old survival code.
It really paints a picture of plasticity. And based on this, RECOT-ER predicted that hitting PRP1 might counter this resistance mechanism.
And did it?
It did. A PRP1 inhibitor, AZD9574, didn't do much on its own, but when they combined it with the original ATM inhibitor or radiation, it significantly boosted their effectiveness. And again, PRP1 wasn't ranked highly by other methods.
Okay, so RECOT-ER is finding not just initial targets, but also the right combinations to overcome the first wave of resistance by understanding these context shifts and reactivated programs. But resistance can happen even to combinations, right? What about that challenge?
Absolutely. That's the next layer of complexity. Even combining AZD1390 and the PRP inhibitor, some tumors still relapsed. So the team analyzed resistance to a different combo, AZD1390 plus radiation, which they called Regimen E. And this is where things got really interesting and unexpected. The tumors resisting this combination didn't just expand the progenitor cells. They also showed a huge expansion of the immune community genes.
An immune community within the tumor cells themselves.
That was the critical finding. This wasn't just immune cells rushing in. Multiplex profiling confirmed it. A subpopulation of the malignant tumor cells had taken on myeloid-like characteristics, expressing genes like TREM2, usually associated with immune cells. These were tumor cells, YFP plus RFP plus chromosome 15 gained, expressing immune pathway genes.
Whoa! So the tumor cells themselves are co-opting immune functions to resist.
It appears so. A really complex combination-specific resistance mechanism. And RECOT-ER, analyzing this new context drift, pointed towards dasatinib. It's a multi-kinase inhibitor that hits SYK, which is key in that TREM2 signaling pathway, prominent in the resistant immune community.
Okay, another specific prediction from RECOT-ER based on this unexpected immune shift. Did dasatinib work in the lab?
It worked beautifully. Dasatinib alone. Ineffective. But adding it to the AZD3D3090 radiation regimen, it dramatically suppressed tumor growth and significantly boosted mouse survival. In one setup, Regimen ED2, an amazing 60% of mice achieved long-term survival.
60% long-term survival after adding the RECOT-ER predicted drug. That's incredible. It really shows the power of designing combinations based on the specific resistance context.
It really does. It's about rational design informed by this deep contextual understanding.
This is all very compelling in the mouse models. Did they try applying RECOT-ER to human cancers? Cancers known for being tough nuts to crack.
They did. They looked at human medulloblastoma, that's a common childhood brain tumor, and also triple negative breast cancer, TNBC. Both are notorious for resistance. In medulloblastoma, RECOT-ER found specific subtypes, group 3 and metastatic group 4, showed really high gene context drift between when they were diagnosed and when they relapsed. And importantly, this drift was happening even when the levels of gene expression looked pretty stable. So RECOT-ER was picking up crucial warning signs missed by standard approaches.
So it's providing distinct information.
Exactly. And based on that drift, it predicted 12 potential drugs for that aggressive group 3 medulloblastoma. Similarly, in TNBC, it identified a subgroup they called group B, which seem to have this built-in tendency for major transcriptome evolution and high context drift. For them, it predicted 9 potential treatments.
And are these predicted drugs just theoretical, or?
That's the really encouraging part. Many of the drugs RecoDR predicted for both medulloblastoma and TNBC are actually already in clinical trials or late preclinical testing for those specific cancers.
Wow.
So it suggests RecoD isn't just finding random correlations. It seems to be identifying clinically relevant pathways and vulnerabilities. It could potentially help guide which patients might benefit most from certain existing or developmental drugs.
Okay, this feels like a genuine shift in perspective. Stepping back, the big idea here is that it's not just which genes are active, but how their entire network, their functional context, changes under therapy pressure. That's the real indicator of vulnerability and resistance. How does this change the bigger picture for cancer treatment?
It changes quite a lot, I think. RecoDR's big advantage is that it learns this gene context directly from the tissue itself, the tumor you're actually studying. It doesn't need outside assumptions or comparisons to maybe less relevant biological pathways. And that seems to be why it successfully identified targets like ATM and PARP1 in the CPC model, when other well-established methods like WGCNA, DIFCOX, even SEDRUG failed to prioritize them.
That ability to see what other tools miss just by focusing on context within the actual tumor is huge. It's like getting a much clearer signal out of the noise.
Precisely. And the study powerfully underscores this concept of cancer cell plasticity, how adaptable these cells are. The finding about recalled embryonic programs really drives that home. Cancer cells seem able to tap into these fundamental resilient states to survive.
Yeah.
And then there was that spatial transcriptomics data showing progenitor, immune, and mesenchymal genes co-expressed in the same cells. That suggests incredible flexibility within individual cells, not just different populations adapting.
So individual cells can wear multiple hats, so to speak.
It certainly looks that way. And discovering those myeloid-like tumor cells using the TREM2-SYK pathway for resistance, that opens up totally new therapeutic angles. Maybe we can find drugs that hit both the progenitor functions and these co-opted immune functions in the cancer cells at the same time.
So moving beyond just finding a target, to finding the right combination for the evolving context, this feels much more like personalized dynamic therapy.
That's exactly the promise. RecoDR could really transform how we design clinical trials. Imagine being able to identify patients whose tumors show high context drift potential. They might be at higher risk of relapse.
And then,
maybe even in real time during treatment, use RecoDR analysis on biopsies to pinpoint the most rational combination therapy to deploy next, specifically to counter the emerging resistance pattern. It's about staying one step ahead.
It sounds incredibly powerful. But are there limitations or next steps the researchers highlighted? No tool is perfect, right?
No, absolutely. There are practical challenges. While RecoDR did a great job identifying targets in the CPC model, testing every potential target it predicts across many cancers is experimentally demanding. You need the right preclinical models, drug availability,
resource constraints.
Exactly. So more preclinical work is definitely needed across a wider range of cancer types to see how generalizable this concept of context drift really is. Does it happen commonly? Are the mechanisms similar? And of course, the ultimate proof is in humans. We need long-term follow-up from clinical trials that incorporate this kind of analysis. Does high context drift truly predict relapse risk? Do the RecoDR guided treatments actually improve outcomes for patients?
Validation in the clinic is key.
Essential. And there's also room for refining the RecoDR algorithm itself, perhaps making the scoring more efficient or even more predictive. Continuous improvement.
So if you had to boil this down, what's the single most important take-home message from this deep dive?
I'd say it's this. Cancer resistance isn't just about one gene changing. The entire functional landscape, the gene context, shifts dramatically, sometimes even reactivating ancient developmental programs. RecoDR gives us a new way to see and measure these shifts. It offers a powerful lens onto this dynamic battlefield, providing a much more rational basis for designing smarter combination therapies to cut off those escape routes.
So this new way of understanding gene context drift, could this really be the key, or at least a major new key, to finally getting ahead of cancer's incredible, often tragic, adaptability? What does this mean for the future of precision medicine? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.